Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer.
Aloha.
Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Why would a husband and wife, the parents of a young daughter, sell their businesses and their house in order to live in southern Mexico for 5 years? This is the story of Eric Lucy and his family. He joins us today to share heart to heart with you. And we pause at the beginning of our show, as we typically do, to remind you the reason we have the Good Life radio program is to bring you, dear friend, closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know His love, for you to know His grace. Look, no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what you're facing, no matter how difficult things may be, you might feel like your back is against the wall. There's always hope in Jesus. In Jesus, who loves you so much, He died on the cross for your sins. He shed His precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried, and 3 days later, He rose again from the grave. And the living Christ, the resurrected Christ, can give you resurrection hope in the midst of your moment today. We ask, would you consider opening your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? That's our prayer. That's our hope. Eric Lucy is the executive pastor at Kalihi Union Church with Pastor Jonathan Steeper. He and his family moved to Mexico and served as missionaries before returning to Hawaii. Eric earned his graduate degree from Talbot School of Theology in theology and psychosocial development. He's been in youth ministry with Jim Burns and at First Presbyterian Church, Honolulu. He's married to Gia. They have one daughter, Kailea. Eric, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much.
Eric, where did you grow up?
I grew up in Southern California, a town called San Clemente. And then, but my formative years, I was moved, we moved to Tucson, Arizona, down towards the frontier, to the border of Mexico. So I grew up, in a sense, 1 hour from the border on both sides.
So when I think of San Clemente, I think of surfing, the beach. Was that your upbringing, your experience growing up there?
Yeah, we moved back from Tucson. I was born in San Clemente, moved back from Tucson in sixth grade. And just definitely fell in love with the beach. Just my wife also grew up surfing and body surfing on the beaches, trestles and different areas in San Clemente.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
Louis L'Amour. So he's an author. He's an old cowboy author. So he wrote probably 100 books and just loved him. It was the, you know, Western novels. They weren't the greatest written. They were all the same storyline, but just loved him. And just showed me kind of the type of person I wanted to be.
Well, maybe we have a connection. Do you remember Joe Mack? Joe Mackatozzi? That was my Louis L'Amour. The Native American, you know, in the wild.
I learned more things about this man.
Fascinating reading. Suzanne, you get started. You can't put it down.
Louis L'Amour. Write that down for me.
Joe Mack. That was one of my favorite characters, Joe Mackatozzi. Yeah. Well, so why? I got off on why. Why Louis L'Amour? What? How did he influence you?
Well, I wasn't a Christian, and so in fact, my parents were. They'd bring me to church, and I would actually sneak out and say I was going to Sunday school. My parents would leave the comic book Bible on the bathroom, and so I knew the stories, but I could play the game. So I'd sneak out. I'd go read. I ditched school and go read. I love reading. And so Louis L'Amour, I don't know, I liked it because he, you know, the protagonists were always, you know, trying to do the right thing. There wasn't a lot of, you know, sex or anything, and it was just kind of straight to the point. They usually got their beat up a little bit, and they came back, you know, horse bucks you off, you get back on. So just some of those stories resonated with me.
Your faith. your spiritual journey. How did you become a Christian?
I knew there was a God. I just didn't follow him or really talk to him. And then when I was 22 years old, I had originally gone to Humboldt State University. My goal was to be a wildlife, as a wildlife biologist, to be a game warden. Wanted to be out in the woods. So I had wildlife biology and Native American studies as a minor. And I was playing water polo for the school. I was invited to go down to another school, San Diego State. And I just had to clean up my act. When I say I wasn't a Christian, I really wasn't a Christian. I was, Humboldt was kind of a hippie town, so I was dabbling in all the LSD and things like that as an athlete. I had been down in Mexico a couple times in jail, and so once for a month, and just really had to straighten some things up. My friend was a Christian in San Diego, and so I went down there and lived in a greenhouse with him, actually. But he was part of a Christian fraternity, and I didn't want anything to do with fraternities, but they had a basketball court. So I would go on and shoot basketball. I didn't know anybody, and just watching. And I always thought Christians were kind of, you know, the non-athletic kind of sissies. And I just saw these guys that were normal guys. And I started listening to Chuck Smith on the radio. I was driving up and back from San Clemente to San Diego and just fell in love with him. And I gave my life to the Lord in April, about 3 months after I'd been in jail in Mexico. And then a church hired me, my parents' church. They didn't have young people, hired me 2 months later. I don't recommend that, but it worked for me.
So it was your parents' church?
It was my parents' church.
Did you grow up in a Christian home?
Yeah, they're Christians. I just didn't, from sixth grade, I didn't adhere to any of it. I had never been in a youth group. Mm-hmm. I hadn't gone to Sunday school since probably fifth grade. Never been on a mission trip, never a camp, anything. So when I became a Christian, and a few months later, my first camp was Hume Lake, and I was 22.
Eric, what was it? We have the context of what was going on at the time, but what went on inside that turned your heart to Christ?
I think people grow up lonely, and even though I had friends, and you could look and say, oh, he's an athlete, he's doing these things, you know, I am an introvert, so I'd go out in the woods, and I knew there was a God, but finally I just had to start listening to him. I wasn't doing very well with my life as it was by myself, and I really just wanted to talk with him and see what he had to say.
What difference would you say Jesus has made in your life?
Well, once I wanted to be out in the forest and hunt poachers, and then he made me a youth pastor. So I was working with wildlife of a different type. I'm not sure they smelled better, but junior hires are. He really turned my life around on that, to really love people, because I was very, you know, I would ditch school, but I'd go down by myself and surf. I'd go down by myself and read. And he created somebody who had a real passion for people and ultimately a real passion and a curiosity for cultures.
When you work with young people and worked with young people, what stirred up in your heart?
I like the energy, and I like that I think people have changed. Adults have changed. You know, a lot of churches are moving more towards youth ministry for adults. But in the old days, adults would talk about stocks and real estate. And, you know, we'd go to these parties and you'd listen to people and it was so boring. I'd rather speak with kids. We're talking about real things, feelings and things that are going on. They're the ones that would go hiking and go to the beach. They're the hands-on with service in the church. Things have changed. You know, in the gyms now, you're not hearing people talk so much about, well, if they talk, they don't have the earbuds in. You know, you can have real conversations. But youth, I like that. I like the real conversations, and I like the speed at which decisions are made. That if they want to change some things, they go for it. They're not carrying a lot of baggage, old videos from years and years of problems. So the youth ministry is awesome. So.
And you worked with Jim Burns.
Yes.
Lessons learned? In your time working with Jim?
Every aspect of my ministry is really because of Jim Burns. And I stay in contact, I mean, weekly. You know, we talked yesterday. And the relational ministry, you know, Youth Builders that he wrote, even we've gone to some conferences this year at Fuller and other places, they're just a rewrite. Not to say that they're not great, but, you know, they're changing some of the terminology. Jim Burns has been my hero and is still my hero. And that's saying a lot because I've been around a lot of Christian leaders.
We should remind our listeners, Danny, that they can hear Jim Burns' interview on our
That's right. Jim Burns, that's a great interview.
Yeah, we have a powerful interview from Jim. Yeah.
Better than this one, but no, he is coming in March. He's coming to our church after the hymn conference. So he's, he's the real deal. What you can see is what you get. He's amazing.
A lot of wisdom.
Yeah.
Well, you're listening to Eric Lucy. Eric, you know, youth ministry. His background has allowed him. You see, with someone so reflective, someone who is taking the time to sort of smell the roses of life, when you reflect, there's a certain level of depth in that pensiveness that you have. And in those moments, he has been able to, I believe, to discern certain things, maybe even gain a certain level of sensitivity in special ways to the Lord. And he'll share more with us, particularly when we come back from our break, particularly in missions, more specifically to Mexico. Why would an entrepreneur who loves young people, who is able to start businesses and grow businesses, sell his businesses? Sell his home and move to another part of the world. Not just for a short term, for 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. Well, he's with us. He'll share his story with you. And I believe you're going to be moved by what he shares, by what he says. Eric Lucy, Heart to Heart. More with him when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. This involves exercise and a range of sporting activities. There are times, though, when injuries take place resulting from sports, work, or even the effects of age. In some cases, surgical care is necessary to facilitate proper healing. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, with offices at both Polymomi and Kuakini. Dr. Calvin Oishi has treated patients with the compassion, care, and expertise second to none. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, 484-2042, 484-2042.
There was a time when filling up your gas tank was a full-service experience. The attendant would look under your hood, check your oil and water, check your tires, and wipe your windows, all while your tank's being filled. Burt's Union Service Station on School Street still does it. They also provide auto repair services with master mechanics to give your car the needed fixing to keep it going a long time, so your dollars stretch with a lasting, smoothly running vehicle. Visit them today. Burt's Union on School Street.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiowa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Eric Lucy trained young people who joined he and his wife in Mexico, providing opportunities to learn about a new culture. These experiences have stoked the fire of passion for missions in the lives of many of those young people. But how did he end up in Mexico? How did he end up, I mean, of course, having a business or businesses that were thriving? Sold his house, sold his businesses, and went. I want to find out more about that journey and how God spoke to him. You're listening to the Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here. Suzanne Maurer, my co-host. Maybe you're tuning in right now or caught the tail end of the last segment. Look, you can get this program in its entirety for free. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and share it with a family member or friend. Eric, when did God begin to speak to you about moving to Mexico?
We had done probably 70 trips, you know, over the years crossing the border, some just a couple days. You know, again, the border to us, it's in the old days, it's a little more fluid. It wasn't a real barrier. You know, most of my friends growing up were Mexicanos, and so you don't think of it as what it is now. And so when I had been in jail, and they did escort me to the border and say, never come back. And then when I became a Christian, the church had a little history of going to an Azusa Pacific mission down in Mexicali. And so some of the kids wanted to go visit the church they had worked with. So I was hesitant, but I'm thinking, Mexicali is a little far from Tijuana. So I went over and really remembered how much I loved the people of Mexico. My friends growing up, they always had my back. And so little by little, I started doing trips farther down. Never kind of went into Tijuana. I just go through. But we started working with Christian missionary pilots, different organizations, great organizations, and mostly construction, and just always had a passion for it. When I worked for Jim, it was a mission, so we were supposed to raise our support, and I knew that I was horrible at it. I read the book, Camps Crusades book, and it said, if you don't, you know, if you're not good at it, it means you don't believe enough in your mission. And I'm like, I am horrible. So I would actually speak at conferences and then go scrub the toilets at churches that would hire me to do their janitorial. And I would rather scrub the toilets than ask somebody for a check. So when the time came that my wife and I, after we left Hawaii, that we knew we wanted to go on the mission field, we knew we wanted to be entrepreneurs, purchase some businesses. Those days it was easy to get a loan. And so we ended up buying a restaurant and fixed it all up, and a gym, San Clemente Gym, that was around for years. Loved that gym. And my wife was an author, so she had a publishing company. So we planted ourselves, her son, our plan was let him graduate high school, and then he would go on the mission field. My daughter was born, and she is perfect for this. I mean, she is made to be in different areas and cultures. And so when she was 8 years old, the year before, we sold our house, we sold the restaurant, and then we were hoping the gym would kind of support us monthly a little bit, and we went down. Why Cozumel? It's really safe. It's 4 hours from the border of Belize. It's an island. It's known for deep water, scuba diving. But it's poor. If the tourists would go two streets in, it's what many people think of Mexico. So, but I knew it was a safe place. You know, there are cartels, there are problems with the police. So we moved him there, and I thought I'd be working more with the Mayan people. Again, my background is mostly construction, sanitation. My wife's a biologist, botanist. So we wanted to go down and do aquaponics, hydroponics, and sustainable agriculture. So we went down and started doing that and serving an orphanage. Little did I know that Cozumel was very poor, so we ended up doing our 5 years wholly on Cozumel, working in the squatters' villages. So that's kind of it. God just placed I looked at Samoa. We actually looked at Rotonga to go and serve, but God just kept pulling us into Latin America. And even had a job offer here from a friend when my kids in the Conservation Corps to come here, but it just wasn't the time.
Talk to us about the social safety nets that may not exist among the families that you were serving, and the way that was an impetus for you to serve young people there on the mission field.
Well, when we first went down, I wasn't even thinking of working with young people. I was really thinking of felt needs, of physical needs. You know, I've shared that it's hard for people to hear Jesus speaking to them over the rumbling of their stomach. So, and it was kind of a cop-out because, you know, I was kind of tired of being in pastoral ministry. I just wanted to do more task-oriented things. And as we got down, I still remember the day that the kids at the orphanage came over and started grabbing my tools, my machetes and things, and to use them to help me. And I was going, why are they in my way? because I was so focused on the agriculture. And all of a sudden, I'm like, you're dumb. This is what you're here for. So every day I started working with them. And then outside the walls of the orphanage, it's a truly, you know, the orphanage is really well taken care of. The United States is a very generous place. But outside the walls, the kids were starving. So we started working with, there's little plazas, parks in each neighborhood. So I was serving three different churches. One of the churches was a little younger, and they there's a park just 100 meters away. So we started going to the parks and just started, you know, little things, arts and crafts. Any attention you can give to the little ones, they're just excited about. And my daughter was fully invested, my wife. And so we started bringing in people from the church and just really loving on the students, creating a street ministry, as you call it. And, you know, I don't like even the word missionary because we're just doing what everybody does. Hmm. We created a couple businesses down there to support the churches and you know, we gave our money away, actually.
What kind of businesses?
My wife started a physical fitness. Basically, she'd bring professional instructors to the hotels, and they would get the free all-inclusive hotel. So they would teach a class, they'd get a free hotel. And these were like $5,000 to $10,000 a week hotels. And then she created Aqua Strong. It's like a yoga floatable yoga mat for the pool, things like that. So physical fitness deal. And then we were doing agriculture. We're trying to figure out what we wanted to do with the aquaponics, the tilapia. And we were itching where people weren't scratching. They just weren't interested in it. And people are making 100 pesos a day, you know, as a laborer, so $5. And then, so they'll get a kilo of tortillas for 22 pesos. They'll get their cerveza because they want to forget the hardships. And there's not a lot of stuff left over for more food, or for a kid to go to school is about 2,000 pesos a year. That's public school. You have to bring your own toilet paper, your own pluma, your own pens. So you have a lot of kids just on the street because you can't afford that. If you're making 100 pesos, it's hard for a kid to go to school, and you have four or five children. So we thought that we would create jobs. So we helped start a few businesses down there, giving them to the people. One of the businesses was a botanical garden and butterfly sanctuary. So we rented a large house from the cartel and basically built this whole thing where we, and for the tourists, so Cozumel Butterfly Sanctuary, so we could have tours, and the money would go to that. And ultimately, we weren't coming back in 5 years. We had given two tours, stay for five, and then decide, or then stay for the rest. But we came back really because my daughter's schooling. The schooling was insufficient there, and it's not fair. Mm-hmm. You know, so we did come back, and she caught up within 2 months. But it's nice that she's fluent, you know, and the experiences she had. But she really needed some help on math and American history. So,
what lessons, Eric, what lessons did the Lord teach you while you were in Mexico?
The lesson is, don't be scared to try. You know, I had a mentor, loved this man. He'd been in my life since high school. And he was a millionaire. He owned a couple businesses. And he was against me going down there. He's like, Eric, you're going to sell everything. What about your retirement? What about this and that? And I said, well, at least we tried. You can always find a job, which God will provide. You know, we'll work it. We'll make it work. If you feel you can do anything, I'll work in Starbucks. I'll work anywhere. You know, you can make it work. And at least we have the experience. My daughter will have that experience of service. And he actually, but the Christians were against it, which is interesting. The non-Christians were like, well, that's altruistic, that's wonderful. He actually almost lost all of his businesses. So he played the safety game and stayed, have the house, have the business, have the entire. He actually almost lost it, very close.
So why were the Christians against it?
They were scared, it's not fair to bring your daughter. Why wouldn't you do that in the United States? I had a lot of that.
Oh, you mean like someone saying, well, we got a lot of needs here.
Exactly, 100%.
Well, and also danger.
Danger. It is
concerned
dangerous.
About the danger.
Okay, yeah. So with that, we know you went, mm-hmm. but in the face of this seeming negativity.
Opposition.
What moved you to keep going?
We just knew it was the right thing to do. And, you know, during that time, it was funny. It was in California, and we had like three shootings within a month there. And some of my workout partners were police officers, and they're the ones saying, Eric, I would never go down there. You know, I know more than you do. I've heard this. And I'm like, we just had three freeway shootings here. So we were always, you know, we listen, and it's a thank you for caring about us. But we just knew it was the right thing to do. at the right time and the right people. When I first moved to Cozumel, I went down first, and I brought my 150-pound Borbal, an Australian Mastiff, and I walked the streets at midnight to see how safe they were. And people, and you know Mexico, everybody's out till 4 or 5 in the morning, so they're out there drinking their cervezas, and I'm saying, okay, I'm going to see. And I'm walking with more of a, I don't know, a bolder attitude, like I want to see what's going to come my way. And within an hour, I'm like, this is silly. These people are amazing. And Cozumel is. I mean, it's changing. You know, the cartel are warring in Cancun, which is 2 hours away. You know, it's the murder capital of Mexico now. The cartel has ruined Mazatlan. They ruined Acapulco. And now Cancun, it's hurting. And it's hurting our people. But in those days, for the time I was there, God really protected us. Never had issues. I mean, we don't even think of them as issues. I mean, maybe there were, but they just kind of blow over you. You don't pay attention.
I am interested also, Suzanne, about your relationship with your wife, with Gia, as you were there, your relationship with Kailea. I mean, the blessing of her being bilingual, I mean, especially at that period of her life, there's probably a very native, more opportunity to be more like a native speaker being so young. When we come back from our break, Eric, I'm wondering if you'd share a little bit about your experiences, the impact of family, as you took that bold step in the face of, as Suzanne said, opposition from even believers who said, well, why would you go? Why would you go now? What about the future? What about retirement? And they up and left. Eric Lucy, a man of faith, a man of action, and a man of sensitivity to the leading of God's Spirit. We believe the Lord, the Holy Spirit, speaks to you as well. Perhaps the Lord is stirring up in your heart. Question, are you hearing? Are you willing to respond? Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ring the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
Have you heard the stories on the Good Life Hawaii radio show with Danny Amashiro and his guests?
Yup. I listen to Danny's show every day. Those testimonies inspire me in my life at work, with my family, and in my relationship with God.
Did you ever visit thegoodlifehawaii.com? There's all kinds of resources there. Danny Amashiro has interviewed hundreds of guests on subjects like parenting, business, relationships, depression, overcoming addiction, hope, and so much more.
As a matter of fact, I have. Did you know there are videos where Danny prays for your family, your finances, even a video I've used to help lead my friends to Christ?
Wow. And I hear Danny is offering special opportunities and benefits for his Good Life Partnership Club members.
Yep. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and remember to connect with Danny on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, too. That's Danny Yamashiro.
I'm going to visit thegoodlifehawaii.com today.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out? Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ Is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter, or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Family missions. While Eric and Gia, Lucy, and their daughter Kailea were in Mexico, families would come too to participate in the work that they were doing. Eric likes to say, a family that serves together, loves together, and stays together. Even professionals such as physicians, nurses, dentists, would join them providing services in the communities where Eric and his family served. You're listening to The Good Life Radio Show. Danny Yamashiro here with Suzanne Maher. We're grateful that you're with us today. You can hear this program as a gift to you. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and share it with a family member or friend. Eric, before our break, we're talking about lessons learned, lessons that God taught you. But what about the impact on your marriage, your relationship with Gia, husband, wife, and also Kailea as a father?
Well, Gia, it was a dream of hers always to basically go serve. Her mom was pretty protective, so she had never been on the mission trip before. And then when we got married, I took her and Kailea to Tecate and to do a construction trip. And so her first mission was 3 days, and her second one was 5 years. So it was a pretty bold jump. But again, my wife is pretty amazing, entrepreneurial. And again, she had really never left, and now she's been to 5 or 6 countries, some of them on her own for her business. My daughter, when I think of her, I see her down in, you know, working with the kids in the squatters' villages or at the parks, and then her and Gia going to the ocean and cleaning the lice to make sure they didn't get lice in their hair. For me, shaving my head, I didn't really have the problem. But the experiences that they had, they were perfect for the perfect time for them. You know, to see Kailea go up and order tamales in Spanish and not be scared, to have that experience really of being a minority. You know, there's hard days. There's days where some of the families wouldn't allow their kids to hang out with Kailea because she was an Anglo. There were times where she wasn't invited to the fiestas because 100% she was an Anglo. Even after she was fluent, it was still that feeling. And, you know, I've had it several times in my life, but to have your daughter go through it, as many people know, as I'm, you know, sharing, it's hard, but you know it's a good experience. She has that compassion and love for so many other people, and she really truly doesn't understand. A lot of people can say they don't understand, but she really doesn't understand prejudice. She just doesn't get it.
Danny, I think our listeners are hearing of a marriage that is a husband and wife coming together as one. I mean, you really sound like a team, and even the three of you, and that is just powerful, but also necessary, because this was a joint decision, and you went down there as a team, which is wonderful. How old is your daughter today?
She's 14.
So she was
8 years old.
Yeah.
Did you experience periods of discouragement while you were there?
You do, because, you know, you're working so hard and you want, you know, it was really, the discouragement was with the churches, you know, and some of the pastors. There's a prosperity gospel has come down into Mexico, and it's hard. And so we're helping one church, and all of a sudden the next day the pastor's got a BMW. Now remember, it's a church of 150 people making 100 pesos a day, and the pastor shows up with a BMW and puts on his Facebook, "Look how God has blessed me. If you're a good Christian like me, and pray." So there's discouragement there. There's discouragement in, I mean, it's great to be a tent maker, as they call it, where you raise your own support, but we limited ourselves. When you truly see the need and the poverty and what we could have done if we had partnered, you know, so that was, it was great for us for that season.
Explain further.
Once we started getting going, we had some people come down, but a normal missionary, if you want to use that term, will work in the area for 8 months, then 4 months they would go back and develop. They'd go to churches, share what's going on, and raise support, basically. Maybe if I'm too shy or whatever, but it was hard for me to go back and share and know that many people really didn't care. I mean, I love these kids, and they're in my arms, and they go and show pictures, and to know that, you know, I'd rather be there, I guess. So that's why we started our businesses, so we didn't have to leave to raise support. And maybe it was selfishness or, I don't know, but that's how we did it.
So what you're saying is, are you saying that maybe more people would have given if you would have opened up the buckets, so to speak, and then you would have had more to even give away? Yeah. And not taking away from the tent thinking that you were doing.
No, it was just
more resources.
I think you get rebuffed after a while. We put it on, hey, these kids need to go to school. You know, again, I had a gym of 1,500 people. And as I was going down, everybody was like, hey, we want to help you. I said, I don't know what we're doing yet. Because, again, when we went down, we were under an umbrella of a church, a group called Seventh-day Hero. But it was really just to say, hey, we're just not down our own. We're just some weird gringos coming down. We have a group that we have a covenant with that we will be good. And so when we went down, then when I did find that the need of these school children, and I sent it back on Facebook, hey, got nada. And so after a few of those, you're like, you know, it's
nada hard. Means nothing.
Nothing. So, and so after a while, you're going, okay, this has to be organic in the community. And being organic in the community when people don't have that much, it takes a lot longer. Being from California, where you want everything quick, and my personality, that was some of the discouragement. It didn't go as fast as I wanted.
How did you work through that?
We just kept plugging away. You know, of course you have bad days, but in life you have bad days. You pray to the Lord. You ponder: am I doing what I'm supposed to do? And your daughter comes home and she's crying because, you know, but that happens in the States. So it's not because it was Mexico and it was some grandiose mission that we're doing. It's just life, and it happens everywhere. There are bad days.
It sounds to me like some of your disappointment was expectation. Mm-hmm. And isn't that a problem for all of us? Expectations. And we get let down. So that it's a real challenge.
In light of that, how did the Lord begin to prepare you for a transition back? You mentioned Kalea's schooling. Take us through the process of what it took to come back.
We really felt that we were trying to work ourselves out of a job. We were training leaders. We call it gringo Santa Claus, where a lot of good-intentioned people just come and give, but there's no training involved. And so the whole time with the churches, with everything we were doing, we were trying to raise leadership. And we were coming to a point of that we were successful in it. But after a while, we just did our time, and it just felt the right time to come back. And I don't know if it's because we had already said 5 years or just God just made it abundantly clear to each one of us. And we didn't know where we were going to go. I was offered a job in Florida to work with, because again, loving cultures, I wanted to work with a different culture there. And I love the immigrant population because of the hardworking, just awesome people. So a church asked me to come work with them in Florida. And I forgot the name of the town, but it's in Central Florida. Another church asked us to come to New Orleans, and I wanted to work with a whole different culture there. And there's some awesome people. Everybody I met at that, as I was going to New Orleans, were amazing and just so friendly. And I just love that because Mexico is amazingly friendly. So I'm like, okay, this is awesome. And then Kalihi came along and kind of rushed it, some of the relationships I had from before living here. And that one, we weren't sure. At first, honestly, we said no. Says, oh, this is not my type of job, executive pastor. That's pretty more administrative. And they persevered, and I wanted my daughter to see Hawaii. She wasn't born when I was here before, and I wanted her to be an island girl. I wanted her to have, you know, be Bimguksu and know what Manapua is and to take your shoes off when you go, because she had been raised with aunties and uncles from Hawaii that were on the mainland, but had never really felt the aunties and uncles like I did when I was here with my first church. To walk into the reception area at our church. We're old school. We still have receptionists. We have, and you walk in, and there's all the aunties and uncles, and I'll drop her off, and she'll run right in and get 20 hugs. You know, they give her a lay every single Sunday. It's amazing. And that's the reason we came to Hawaii. Also, hopefully, that our skill set with owning businesses, being in ministry, we could help in this position at this church.
The Lord works with us. Doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
In the seasons of life. Someone today, Eric, might be going through a season of, well, perhaps stepping on the threshold of a transition. They sense that things are changing. It's really intrinsic. It's a sense that people have. Sometimes we don't recognize it. Sometimes we don't want to let go. Did you have any problems with that, letting go? Or I see you nodding your head.
Yeah. 100%. And somebody shared that it's not opening the door when you see the window at the end. It's being in the hallway. It's that time between. You know, when I started looking for a position, I had never even written a resume because I was in the relationships with the churches. You know, they say, oh, I heard you're looking or something like that. And so to put a resume out and nobody knows me. I've been in Mexico, and before that we were in the business world, so I haven't been in the church world at all. And even though we attended, but we weren't, you know, we weren't going to conferences or doing anything. So that was hard. So you're looking at resumes like, hey, how are they going to view this? This guy's, you know, entrepreneur, he's just a lone ranger. Or he knows, you know, it's so it's hard. And the jobs that were given to us or offered to us, you know, they looked and our skill set worked for them. But then you start with your mind, okay, this is what I would do here. And then maybe they don't offer you the job. Then you're crushed. Oh, you're just constantly changing. Well, is God speaking? Is he speaking here? And I think, you know, for us, I was sharing with one of my pastors today, you know, God, you can bloom wherever God plants you. So I think if we had gone to another church, we would have done our best and God would have honored that. But for some reason, God wanted us here, made it abundantly clear. Working with our pastor here, it's exactly what I desired. You know, I want to work with a strong, passionate, honorable leader. And I've always had wanted that. And luckily, I've had that in my past pastors.
When we come back from our break, Eric Lucy did mention a word, passion. Passionate. Well, in the new season of life, that's something for us to talk about. What are his passions in this new era of the life of the Eric Lucy family? What are his passions? What has God placed on his heart? Sometimes, well, some might say, Danny, not just sometimes, maybe more of the time. Someone else might say, Danny, all of the time. Well, sometimes God speaks to us even through the passions. And passions swell in certain seasons of life. And sometimes God prepares those passions for now. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me. I'll lead you home.
In times of economic challenge, opportunities arise. All we need is someone to say, I believe in you. Michael Beasley, a senior executive of Kaiani Team Aloha, has seen Kaiani products improve the quality of people's lives. Michael Beasley says Kaiani's mission is to empower people globally to experience better health, wealth, and a lot of fun. Contact Michael Beasley at 277-9528. Live outside the 9-to-5 workday. Become the CEO of your own business while Kaiani handles the details. That's Michael Beasley at 277-9528. 277-9528. Active lifestyles are promoted for healthy living. There are times when injuries take place. In some cases, surgical care is necessary. That's the time to call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi with offices at both Palimomi and Kuakini. Call orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi at 484-2042, 484-2042.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how the Good Life Radio Show has made a difference in their lives, how they've shared our free podcasts with family and friends from thegoodlifehawaii.com. Others have connected on Facebook and Twitter. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. Thank you to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service Station on School Street, Michael Beasley of Kaiani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, A1A Electrician, and Orthopedic Surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi. To find out how to become a corporate sponsor, click Partners at thegoodlifehawaii.com. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show, on 99.5 The Word, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Providing opportunities to connect family and friends with Jesus Christ.
Hear me calling. Hear me calling.
You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
Well, that's
guest.
Right, seasons of change, the ebb and flow of life. Sometimes there's a swell, and we're really flowing, or maybe figuratively speaking, riding the crest of a wave. And what a joy that is. What a thrill indeed. But then there are also times when the Lord, as it were, he pulls back the arrow. And maybe he does that so that he can adjust the trajectory. You see, sometimes the further back the Lord pulls, the further the arrow can fly. And today, we're talking about some seasons, at least in this segment of our program with Eric Lucy. Eric Lucy is the executive pastor at Cleve Union Church. He comes with so much richness in his background, working with young people, being a missionary. I know he doesn't like... didn't necessarily feel comfortable with that word, but he served in Mexico, he and his family, for 5 years. Danny Yamashiro here, Suzanne Maurer. We're grateful to be with you today. Thanks for spending this time with us. And we believe that through our time together, the Lord will maybe inspire you and bless you and encourage you and lead you along in this season of your life. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, find out more, or kalihiunion.org. Find out more about Cleve Union Church. Eric, this season, what are you most passionate about as you're here with your family in Hawaii?
Well, the church, this position has been open for the church for a long time. And this executive pastor, executive director position, it seems to be a newer position going around the churches. It used to be a position where somebody would have an MBA and be all business. And now it's changed a little bit, where you might have a skill set like First Pres, and they have a lawyer slash pastor. You know, for us, it was a small businessman slash pastor, and for whatever the church. And so that's kind of a neat thing, because so my role is over all the brick and mortar, and then also over all the staff, and it's all encompassing. And I think from my background, when you've owned a gym, and you've worked in the physical fitness industry for so long, and then you go on and really are meeting physical needs of people in Mexico, food, sanitation, basic needs, you seem to forget that there are spiritual needs. Physical needs are easy. You see change. I mean, if you come work out in the gym after 3 months, you see, you know, most people can see some change if they're dedicated. Spiritual needs are harder to address. But sometimes we forget that everything we do is to bring people to Jesus Christ. If we really believe that without the Lord, without Jesus Christ, that you are in outer darkness or fiery inferno, or whatever your view of hell is, you're separated from God, then we have a sense of urgency. So my passion, and it's hard in Hawaii or Mexico, because Mexico is mañana, mañana, Hawaii is Hawaiian time, but this urgency must supersede culture. And to go to a 105-year-old church that has been there so long that, in a sense, the staff are here for a season. I mean, you could be there 10 years and it's just a season. There's not as much of a sense of urgency. The people are amazing. They're service hearts. But my role and my goal is to create a little bit more sense of urgency, to reach out, to hit the certain areas. The local area of Kalihi is amazing. I love it. I love walking the streets. It's like Disneyland compared to Mexico. There's food and wonderful people everywhere. Again, coming from rice and beans every day for 5 years, to walk into a Filipino restaurant and have a menu of choices, and then have everybody excited that you're wanting to try their food. This is my passion about Hawaii. This is what I wanted my little girl to see. And I know I hopped over to food. I seem to do that a lot. But the point is,
we like to talk
the
about
sense
food.
Of urgency. Yeah, we were down in Chinatown a couple times. And it's just neat because, you know, ladies just come up to my daughter and my wife and are helping them select different things. They're and one lady gave my daughter a Butterfinger yesterday. I mean, it's just, this is what I wanted them to see. Because, again, we do have it in Mexico, but to have it here with so many different cultures, it's been great.
Let's push the pause button. Meaningfully. Difficult times, you talked about some of the discouragement that you faced. Someone today is struggling with their own challenges. Difficult times, and we caught them off guard. Maybe you've been caught off guard from time to time. But what would you say to someone who's going through a really rough time right now in their life?
Let me clarify that. What I've seen here and certain things that I've gone through a rough time in my life is it always comes down to communication. Mm. Sometimes I would feel that somebody's upset with me, and then I would create this whole story about what I did. I do something, especially with the language barrier. And then maybe a day would pass and I'd go to that person and they're like, I'm not upset. Where'd you get this? Mm-hmm. Same thing with the Lord, the communication. Same thing with this church. There's you know, people, oh, this person, that person. These problems come because there's not a clear line. And a lot of times we make up stories or playing old videos and there's not a clear line of communication. If somebody...
You mean reruns of videos
reruns
in our own mind?
Old pain, yeah. Like, oh, she said this, and then it reminds you of when it happened 20 years ago and somebody did this. And so for me, that helps the most is a clear line of communication, you know, with people, relationships on this world, but also with the Lord. And there are times, the dark night of the soul, I've gone through it, where I'm crying out to the Lord, and he's not answering. And you wonder, what's going on? What did I do? And it's hard. And you just persevere. God hasn't moved. Something is blocking. And it's that perseverance. But I know. It's hard. Nobody can take that away except to really knock on the Lord. The Lord, here I am. What would you do with me? What would you have? But those two things, fix it with the person now. Communicate now to the best of your ability. And try to understand where that person's coming from. Walk in their moccasins. You know, it's a lot of that is, it just doesn't exist. A lot of it, you're making it up in your mind.
You really strike a chord with me, too. I've got an active imagination. I create stories in my mind. It's like I'm a movie script writer or something, you know. And you're right, Eric. You know, the thing didn't even happen, but I start to believe it. Well, that causes a lot of, and then because I believe it, it affects the way I treat the person the next time I see him. Suzanne?
This is where prayer comes in my opinion. And we get all caught up in this and our mind just starts racing and this scenario starts. If only we could just stop and say, Jesus, just, I need help. I need you to give me the courage to go to this person in love and be honest and just cut right to the chase. And that's not easy for us to
You're
do.
Right. It's not easy.
So
it's,
it takes prayer.
Yes.
And I really believe even committed Christians underestimate the power and the privilege and the answer of prayer. So we can go to him and say, stop this thinking, Lord. Just take control of my mind. Help me to know, how can I contact this person? Should I write a note? Should I send a text? Should I call? But just turn to the Lord and say, Lord, this is eating me up. I need help. Mm. And if I'm wrong, help me to know and help me to convey that. I think prayer is really important.
That's deep, Suzanne. Deep and practical. The thing is, we don't always apply it.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always apply it.
Yeah,
I would say most of them, I don't apply it. And I need to do more of that. And you remind me, Eric, the Lord reminds us today. Eric, a scripture. Right now that the Lord, in this season of passion, that the Lord has placed on your heart. And then let's spend a few moments praying.
Yeah, it seems it's always the same. You know, as the deer pants for the water brook, so my soul pants for you, O God.
It's a good one.
You know, especially when you're working with what we were doing in Mexico, you're always thirsty, and it was an easy one to always remember. But, you know, and with the communication, you know, and how we need to supersede the culture, is because the Japanese culture, our church is mostly Japanese, and there is a non-confrontation a lot. So these things will murmur for decades. And as Christians, we are called to supersede the culture, to direct. And there's ways of going about that the proper way. It's not like in their face, but there are ways to just not be scared and just go forward and say, how have I aired you? Or just have that conversation.
This is a moment of, I think, prayer, even in the application of prayer. But for the Spirit of God to work in us, to enable us to both share and receive in the points of communication. Eric, can you lead us in a prayer? And Suzanne also, please.
Well, Papa in heaven, I just want to thank you for Danny and Suzanne, this ministry that they've had for so many years and have touched so many people. And in this, in their communication, Lord, as it does supersede so many cultures and reaches so many people. So, Lord, where I've erred against my fellow person, where I've hurt them from for years of its nibbling, please make it clear to me. I do not want that to fester or to harm others. And, Lord, where I can be of assistance, give me strength. Give me, let me look at them with your eyes, Lord.
Heavenly Father, the scripture that comes to my mind, cause me, and that means all of us, our listeners, to seek you with my whole heart. Because as I do that, through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will quicken to my mind an area that needs to be dealt with. And you will quicken to my mind to turn to you and seek you to help in that situation. You will even quicken to the other person, perhaps. I need to give Suzanne a call. We need to touch base. And so for all of our listening audience, I think seeking him with our whole hearts and then remembering the privilege, the power of prayer, and just letting the Lord, through the Holy Spirit, love through us to love each other. That would be my prayer in Christ's name.
Amen. Thank you, Suzanne. Eric, grateful, very grateful for you. Exemplary words from Eric Lucy. You can find out more at KalihiUnion.org. Hey, there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, look, I believe this is the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special video for you there. And if you'd like to stand with us with your prayers and financial support to make a donation, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. 1 Corinthians 16:24, declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among the peoples. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Eric Lucy. Again, find out more at KalihiUnion.org. Until next time, along with my co-host, Suzanne Maurer, technical producer Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator Jamie Nelson, and web designer Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.